The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Welcome to Let's Just Talk with Katherine Raker, sponsored by A Private Place, Bagwell, Dan Perkins Author, Don Greco Novels, IDI Dentistry, Dr. James Butler, iMarketing, Web Design and Web Hosting, Integrated Healthcare Solutions, Pucker Urban Farms, Next Stage, Plots Honey Nutters, Skip Kenny Barbecue, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Ultimate Air Shuttle, and Veterans in Defense of Liberty. You're listening to W4CY.
And how are you today? It's such a gorgeous day. And we have a new sponsor. His name is Attorney Mark Epley, and it's Family First. Wonderful lawyer attorney group that specializes in numerous things, especially family law and children and adoptions. But they have a series of different things. In the next couple of weeks, you will be hearing from Mark. Mark used to be on my show a while back, and I'm very delighted to have him and the firm as sponsors. And they're just wonderful attorneys to work with, from everything from probate law to defense, whatever you need, they're the best. So we want to welcome them. But our guest today is one of my absolutely famous authors, and delightful to have him all the way from Youngstown, Ohio, and that is author Donald Greco. You know, Don has completed 4 of the 5 stories in his masterful series called The Youngstown Quintet. We will be discussing today his newest novel and how he creates his characters. The last yet untitled novel of the quintet will be published, I think, this year. And, you know, Greco's stories are not the kind of novels that are currently in vogue. There aren't any spies, no vampires, no zombies, no space aliens, no super beings, or bodice rippers, or, you know, rippers, whatever. Instead, the quintet consists of unrelated stories that are about ordinary people who have and lead extraordinary lives. And he's going to talk about his books, but the one thing that amazes me as a new author myself is how that story comes to being. I want to welcome you to our show. It's a little early yet. Our show this morning, and I'm so excited about having him. I've been working with him a long time. Absolutely super guy. So anyhow, we have him on the phone, right? Good morning. Hi. Yes. How are you, Don?
Okay, Catherine, how are you?
I'm fine. Tell me what is the favorite one that I've always loved is A Brahma's Gift. I'm just a little partial about that. That's how I met you, right? And yeah. It was such a heartwarming story. And, you know, I've been to Ireland since then and actually love Ireland. And I've been to Italy. So I've been to both places. So it was, had you been to Ireland and Italy before you wrote them?
Let me think now.
I don't know.
No, I have never been to Ireland. I've been to Italy. And it was really a nice experience. The only problem is that I will never go back to Italy in the summertime because it is so
hot.
Too
hot. I know.
Yeah.
Well, I was there in the wintertime, right? And that was the first year they had snow. So It was wild because thank God I had, and they lost all my luggage. Lufthansa lost all our luggage. And so we were stuck. And thank God they gave us a little bit of money to buy a couple things, right? But I have to tell you, before you die, Mr. Greco, you have to go to Ireland. Ireland's the coolest place on earth. And go ahead.
My mom was Irish.
Right.
My dad was Italian, and my mom was Irish. So I've done the Italian part. So maybe someday I'd like to go.
Well, you know, we went on a tour actually, with about 22 people. And it was wonderful because we got to see Northern Ireland as well as Southern Ireland. And it really, I know you would have loved it because of the historical part of it. And we went to different places and stayed in different places. And so they were a little bit older than us, most of the people that were on the tour. So they make it so comfortable for you. You just don't really have to do anything except, you know, walk. That's it. But it was wonderful. So tell us, so your mom was your mom from Ireland?
No, she was born in this country. Her parents were from Ireland.
All right, so she was first generation. She could have she could have gone back to Ireland. And because she had citizenship, actually. You have dual citizenship that way. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Really? So your mom could have gone back to Ireland and run for office, actually.
Wow.
No, are you serious? I have friends that...
I can't see my mom doing that, but...
No, whatever. You know, whatever.
It'd be fun, yeah.
It would be. What part of Ireland was her family from?
Your county... County Mayo.
My family's my great grandmother's family was from Northern Ireland, and that was interesting to find out. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But you know, it was really cool. So let's talk about some of the books, if you don't mind, and let's talk about the newest book. And how long does it take you to determine the characters, to figure them out? How much research goes into each book, Don?
Well, with fiction writing, you don't have to do quite as much research as, you know, someone who's doing a factual nonfiction book. But it does take time to, at least for me it does, to let the characters develop. And so when I start thinking about a story, I start imagining some characters in that situation. And then after a while, I give them names, and I start thinking about them as though they are actual people. And then in a sense, they almost tell the story. You know, once you have characters and you have a setting and you have some idea where the story is going to go, it's almost as though the characters tell me the story and I just write it down. But it takes a while to let these characters come to life. And so you think about them a while, at least I do. Maybe some other people do it differently, but I think about them for a while until they are actual, in my mind, they're like real people. And then the story goes from there.
Right. And it was funny because I'm getting ready to do the second book, my second book.
Yeah.
And I contacted one of the characters out of the story who is true. And she's British, which makes it really cool. And she's got this wonderful imagination, and she likes to write. So I got a cheap plan on my cell phone so that I wouldn't have to pay the world, okay? So it's amazing, you know, when you have a thread of something. So this latest, so the second book, let's just talk, if you haven't read A Brahma's Gift, you have to get the four books that are out there. They're all different, but, you know, it's amazing when we were doing A Brahma's Gift and we made it into an audiobook. And I have to tell you something very interesting. A gentleman called me over the week, this week, who's from the Blind Association. He works with the Blind Association. And actually, I think I have an extra copy of A Brahma's Gift that I want to let him try. because, you know, they really do everything with, unless the book is in Braille or actually it's an audio book, right? It's really nice for them. And you know, I encourage authors to do that, is to do an audio book. And you did such a gorgeous job on Abramo's Gift. Have you ever?
So did you.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. We had a good time with it, didn't we?
Yeah. That was a really unique experience, you know? It's amazing when you hear people narrate stories, everything is so perfect and the voices are good and the inflections of speech are good. But you don't realize that in real life, nobody talks that perfectly.
No, so they don't.
You have to make mistakes, and the editors are so patient.
They were.
So forbearing when you make mistakes or when you pronounce a word that you certainly know how to pronounce, but for some reason you say it wrong, you know, things like that. And it's fun, but it's also hard work.
Well, you know, when I did that, I had a broken leg or a broken foot. So when I went up there to Detroit, right, sitting in that small booth, that was hard.
I know. it's almost as though it was a lifetime experience. You know what I mean? Just that it took us several weeks, right, to get it done.
Oh, listen, and I have to tell you, right after that, maybe a year or two after that, I did Jerry Blumenthal's book, Monkey Trial Judgment Day. And it took Bill a year to edit it. Because, because it takes so much. And he was doing it with a full-time job. And we did it. We went out and bought all the special equipment for it because it takes, and you can't have any breaths. You can't have so many things that you have to consider. It's unreal. So that's the reason why. But, you know, I love listening to audiobooks because if you're in the car or you're anywhere else, right, you can do it. And It's you know, you think of people that are disabled that are blind or whatever, and it gives them something that's unreal. You know, it gives them that I mean, when I listen to an audiobook, does your mind go like crazy and you're seeing everything? Do you have the same experience?
Yes.
In your mind? Right.
Sure.
So, anyhow, have you thought about for the future of doing that or not? Because it's not really hard to do yourself, actually. If you've got...
Yeah, I would like to do that. I think that's the coming thing. You know, Amazon now has a whole division of audio books.
Right.
And they, you know, you could listen to them in the car.
Right.
Oftentimes when I travel down to Youngstown from... Sylvania, Ohio, which is a couple hundred miles. I put one of these, this is a talking book. Sometimes it's fiction, sometimes it's not fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to it on my way down and back.
Right.
And I think a lot of people do that nowadays.
Right, they do. And especially if you're, you know, even if you're in the anything, think about it, in the hospital, anything, and you have a lot of time on your hands. And it makes sense to do that. We're going to take a short break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the new book, if you don't mind. And we won't give it away, I promise you. Okay? So we'll be right back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk with Donald Greco, the author of the Quintet. And I'm so excited about having him.
Catherine will be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
If America will be saved, veterans will save her. If America will be saved, veterans in defense of liberty will save her. Today, we are engaged in a genuine battle for the heart and soul of America. Do you believe that our oath and our obligation to our country continues until the day of our death? That America and the future of humanity is worth saving? If so, and you are a veteran or a staunch supporter, join Veterans in Defense of Liberty, which is first and foremost a brotherhood, sisterhood of veterans fully dedicated to maintaining the integrity of our republic based on the correct moral and constitutional principles. Visit us on Facebook and go to vidolamerica.org. vidolamerica.org.
One of the greatest barbecue sauces ever has landed in Cincinnati. Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce is a barbecue sauce like no other, and they have plenty of different flavors for every occasion. Be sure to try the Skip Kenny Spicy Barbecue Sauce, Skip Kenny Sweet Barbecue Sauce, and of course, the Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce with secret ingredients. If the sauce isn't enough for you, you'll love Skip Kenny's Barbecue Rub. Skip Kenny Barbecue Sauce is available at Jungle Gyms in Fairfield and in Eastgate.
Did you know that 1 in 3 American adults are at risk for kidney disease? Major risk factors include diabetes, high blood pressure, family history, or being age 60 or older. Kidney disease often has no symptoms and can go undetected until very advanced and can lead to dialysis or other renal replacement therapies. Talk to your doctor and request a simple urine test that can detect kidney disease. This public service announcement is brought to you by Next Stage Medical, Inc., a leading medical technology company focused on advancing renal care. To learn more about kidney disease and treatment options, visit nextstage.com/patients.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker, and I'm here today to tell you about an amazing product. Mrs. Pucker's Urban Farm, a subsidiary of Integrated Healthcare Solutions, has launched a new product called Mrs. Pucker's Lemon Shots. These are all organic lemon-based drinks that provide a wealth of healthy vitamins in a drink. You know, if you want to look better and feel healthier, this small 4-ounce drink can put you on the right track. Check them out at puckerurbanfarm.com and all their products. I did, and I love them.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
Okay, we are back with my favorite author, and that is Don Greco, and that's the Youngstown Quintet. And, you know, when did you decide to create something totally a little bit different than, you know, because each story is different. Am I right about that, Don?
Yeah.
Okay, so when did you decide to change it to really back in the past? When did that happen?
Well, a lot of it started a long time ago when I was a young boy, when I was probably 13 or 14 years old. My dad and I were driving in Youngstown to visit his sister, my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived on a road adjacent to another large road there called Salt Springs Road. And we were just driving there to see Aunt Antoinette. And I asked my dad one time, I said, Dad, where did they get the name Salt Springs Road? And he said, you know, he said, I think I heard that at one time we had salt springs down here. And when the pioneers came, they decided to fill them in with dirt and dump them. And so the salt springs disappeared. And I thought about that, and I thought, I wonder why they would do such a thing, you know, because salt springs, a lot of animals would come to them and so on. It'd be unusual to have salt in those days. So I started thinking about what it would be like living in the Youngstown area in the days before, you know, the modern pioneers came, and what it would be like living with salt springs. And so it started that way. And all the rest of my life, you know, all my life I've been thinking about that. And I a few years ago I started thinking, I wonder what kind of people would be here. Obviously, they were Indians, Indian tribes. And I wonder what it was like among the salt springs people. And they were, it turns out, I've done some research about You ask about research. I've done research about what it was like in those days. And they were a group of Indians called the Erie Indians. That's a short. The Iriwanan was the real name of the tribes. But anyhow, they lived in that area around Youngstown. And Youngstown, for those of you who don't know where it's located about roughly 20 miles from the Pennsylvania line. And it's up in the northeast corner of Youngstown, of Ohio, rather. And I was thinking about all that, what it's like living there. And there's one more thing. I found this out not too many years ago, that at one time, there was a great ocean between the eastern part of the United States and the western part. It was a gigantic ocean right up the middle of what we consider now the United States. And the Earth, this is millions of years ago, and the Earth began to change, and the middle part of the country where that ocean was started to buckle upward. And so all the waters over, I guess, millions of years drained into the Pacific or the Atlantic areas. But that big ocean dried up, but it left a lot of the salt. Like in Cleveland, there's massive amounts of salt that goes beneath Cleveland, and they have trucks down there and everything else. We have enough salt for, like, I don't know how many thousands of years available for our use. Wow. So anyhow, that's where the salt stuff came about. And so I just decided to try to imagine what it would be like living in that Youngstown area, the area we call Youngstown, 400 or 500 years ago. And that's what the genesis of this and new story is.
Now, have you formed the characters yet?
A few of them, yes. Actually, I think I've got all of them now. They're trying to tell me the story, and I'm writing it down.
Wow.
So,
let me ask you, when do you think we may get to see it?
Well, I was hoping that it would be this year, 2019. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling, though, it's going to be more like 2020. I'd like to have it come out in the springtime of 2020.
That would be really exciting, actually. I love history. And, you know, if you've never been in a salt spring before or never experienced it or done a salt bath or any of that stuff, it's really healthy for you. And
yeah.
It's sad that have they ever when you were doing your research, did you ever discover that there's anything like that in Youngstown today?
No, not that I know of. I've tried to ask other people if they knew of anything. No, there's nothing special about Youngstown and salt, except for that big road called Salt Springs Road.
I wonder how big it was. You know, it's amazing when you go to when you actually see the salt flats, and you imagine that's unbelievable. I mean, I've been to places where, you know, I've been in Israel, you know, to the Dead Sea. Well, that's salt, right? And you float.
Yeah.
So, and it's really amazing to get into that water, and then all of a sudden your body just goes up. It's weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
But it's so healthy for you, and that's, I think, the most important thing is that they're finding out that these natural things are really, really, they're more natural and healthier for you. And actually, they found in China a few years ago, actually, by building a new city, actually, they found these salt water, and people were being healed by it. So, anyhow, let me ask you a question. How can people find your books and how can they read them and where can they order them? And still, can you still order A Brahma's Gift?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
All of the Youngstown Quintet books are available on Amazon. Mm-hmm. They're available as books. They're available as Kindle. So either way, and if you get on Amazon, you could look up the Youngstown Quintet, mm-hmm. or you could look up my name,
Don Greco,
and either one will take you right to, and they give it quite a nice setup there, so you can see all four books at one time. Okay.
Also, thank you again for joining us today on this beautiful summer day in Ohio. We'll be right back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk with Donald Greco.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
iMarketing.com provides easily editable websites to small business owners. And if they don't want to make the changes to the site themselves, they can simply email the changes to iMarketing.com and they'll take care of it for no additional cost. iMarketing.com is also a Google certified partner, which means you'll get your website listed on over 1,000 search engines across the internet very quickly. Let iMarketing.com help you get your share of the web today by calling 513-942-7869, or you can email iMarketing.com at sales@i-mktg.com today.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Our expert, Dr. James Butler, is the original smile artist. As one of the most recognized implant and mini implant specialists in Ohio, Dr. Butler at Innovative Dental Implants, or IDI, has perfected the art of dental implants while keeping the price affordable. If you're one of the thousands who need an implant for any reason, Dr. Butler can provide just what you need. He's been on many extreme makeover programs, and he's an expert on Let's Just Talk. When looking for an affordable implant at a fair price, call IDI at 614-529-0062 or visit us at IDISmile.com.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
We're back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk with Don Greco of the Youngstown Quintet. He's the author that we've been with for a long time. I'm just trying to remember how long it's been, Don. Do you remember?
It's been since 2008.
Wow. Time goes by.
11 years.
Yeah, 11 years. And you know what? Every time you write another book, I just love reading your books because they're so different from each other that, you know, you don't have to go from one book to another. You can see a whole new character and a whole new set of experiences. And so this new book that we've been talking about, that you've been researching, is really takes place in the 1640s, am I right?
Yeah, a major event it happened in the 1630s, 1640s. So that was just about, you know, the white man had probably hit our shores within not even a century before then, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was still early, and they were, a primitive tribe, mm-hmm. like most of them were. They didn't have steel, so they couldn't make steel knives, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that. It's fascinating when you think about it to wonder how they lived and so on.
Did you ever see the Outlander series?
Is that the one where they start off in Scotland?
Yes.
And she goes through a time travel?
Yes, yes. And now she's in America.
Those are very good.
Yeah, and
very
now fast. And now she's in America. They're in America. And
right.
So it's amazing to see, you know, back in that time, because they're very particular about getting things right. You know, especially,
yeah.
you know, the whole thing with the Indians and stuff like that. And it's amazing. So There is an Indian nation in Ohio. Have you ever met with any of them?
None in particular. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, historically, we weren't as heavily populated with Indians in Ohio as other states. And it's surprising because Ohio had so much, it was such a verdant country. We had water, mm-hmm. we had good soil, and mm-hmm. things like that. And yet, the footprint of the Indian tribes was not very large. Now, there is a tribe, a legendary tribe, of people that supposedly inhabited what we call the southern part of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming up with ideas about these people, and they were very tall people and very advanced.
Really?
And so on. And they did like the serpent mound that exists in Ohio, in the southern part of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. It's just fascinating just uncovering all this stuff, you know. And there are, you know, scholars and so on, researchers, that are still finding out things about the Indian populations in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. And I think they found a lot in the area that I live in, because I'm in the southernmost tip of Ohio.
Right.
And we have Indian mounds and a lot of Indian culture. And because now, you know, because the Ohio River was an area that was very popular for them. So it's amazing. And, I really get excited about learning as much as I can about the history of our country. And, you know, what's happening. Let me ask you, when you first started writing and decided to write about Youngstown, was there a reason why there was so much in Youngstown that made you want to write about it?
Well, for one thing, Youngstown had a very variegated population. In other words, I think Youngstown was diverse, more diverse ethnically than even some of the larger cities, mm-hmm. like Cleveland or Chicago or places like that, Pittsburgh, because just about all of the new immigrants at the turn of the century, the 20th century, that came in were able to find jobs in the mills around Youngstown.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Pittsburgh, too, and places like that. And so we had a very diverse population. When I was growing up, we had Italians, Irish, Germans, Eastern Europeans, you know, Lithuanians and Slovaks and Polish, Ukrainians. In my neighborhood, we had our next door neighbors were Polish. And then on the other side, there were Slovaks, there were Italians. Up the street, there was a guy from the Ukraine who was born in the Ukraine. So it was very diverse. And we were able to interact. You know, the people that worked in the mills were from all over the world, you know, from Poland and Ireland and Italy and Greece and, you know, Germany. And so it became quite, for a small town, its population at best was about 160,000 when the steel mills were really thriving. And everybody seemed to work together and we related to each other. In fact, there's one thing about Youngstown on Friday nights. See, the mills used to work they used to work 5 days a week. They worked 7 days, but the men that worked there usually worked a 5 day week.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, on Fridays, all of the churches the Christian churches, especially, and often, most often they were Catholic, they would make a specialty food. Mm-hmm. So, for example, St. Anthony's Church, which was the Italian church, they made pizzas on Friday, and they were delicious pizzas. They, right now, they call them Briar Hill pizzas. That's a long story, but that's what they're called. Mm-hmm. And everybody in Youngstown knows exactly what I'm talking about. And they made delicious pizzas, and they sold them cheaply, but it raised money for the church.
Right.
The Polish people would make pierogies.
Oh, I love pierogies.
And they sold those. So a worker on Friday night, Friday afternoon, when work was done, they would oftentimes stop on the way of one of the churches and buy a pizza or buy pierogies or buy something at the German Mentor Corps in Youngstown or buy some Lebanese food from St. Marin's Church in the parish. And they would take it home and have Friday night supper eating those things. And that really made a lot of people get to know each other. In other words, it provided for a mixture of cultures.
Right.
Because, you know, some people loved Italian pizza, no matter what their nationality was, so they would stop there. A lot of people loved pierogies. They would stop at, you know, to get pierogies on the way home, or, you know, or places like that. So it was quite nice.
Do you remember, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but do you remember that in those areas of your neighborhoods, well, you know, I grew up Polish, and I would go back to Dayton, Ohio, and they would have in their parishes, right, or in their neighborhoods, yeah, you know, these different, I mean, they'd still speak the language, it'd still be, the culture and everything about it, right? Did you find that in Youngstown as well?
Yes.
When you were growing
up? In fact, yeah, a lot of the churches, for example, you mentioned Polish. The Polish church in Youngstown was called Holy Name Church. And I don't know if they still do it now, but people used to go to that church because the Sunday sermons would be in Polish.
Oh, I get it.
At least for some of the masses.
Right.
So if people wanted to hear
it in their language,
Polish spoken, right, they would go there, you know. And, of course, there was an Irish church, a Catholic, Italian church, German church, St. Cyril and Methodius. That would be Eastern European, Polish or Slovak or one of those. You know, so they were all over, you know. And it really was. It was a really nice melting pot to grow up in. No strife, you know, people intermarried, you know, it was really quite nice.
So, on that note, we need to take a short break, and we're going to be right back with Don Greco. We're talking about the formation of his books and why he actually concentrated on that part of the world, Youngstown, Ohio. We'll be right back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk. You can go to dongreconovels.com to see everything about Don, and you can purchase any of his books on Amazon under Don. You can go to Don Greco, or you can go to Abramo's Gift, or you can go to the Youngstown Quintet. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. Do you want to read wonderful novels about historic, wonderful places in Youngstown, Ohio? Then you need to get Don Greco's books. He's a wonderful author that wrote the series, The Youngstown Quintet. His latest book is The Maladrin. And the nice thing about his books are they're not about spies, they're not about zombies, they're just ordinary people that read that have extraordinary lives. So visit dongreconovels.com or go buy his books on amazon.com.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
We are back with Don Greco, author of the Youngstown Quintet, and we're talking about the formation of how a writer actually starts writing his novels and the research and everything else. And we've actually been talking why, you know, Youngstown, Ohio, why did he pick this area to create his wonderful novels? And welcome back to our show, Don. And, you know, I grew up, like we talked right before the break, in this little Polish community. We used to go up there every weekend to spend with my grandparents, who were from the old country, from Poland. And, you know, one of the things I discovered, Don, which is very interesting, is that there was a portrait of my great-grandmother. I didn't even know it was her until I went to one of the reunions in Dayton a couple years ago. And my aunt had this picture. It was from my grandparents. I couldn't believe that they had this picture in their bedroom, hanging on the wall. And when I walked into the reunion with this picture, I see this picture everywhere. It happens to be my great-grandmother. And
that's nice.
And the funny thing was, she wasn't just married once, she was married twice. Her first husband died, and then she had these wonderful, beautiful children, and one of those was my grandfather, Stanley Bohenik. And
Bohenik.
Yeah, Bohenik.
I went to school with a girl named Nancy Bohenik in Youngstown.
Really? Probably one of my relatives. You never know.
Yeah, they could be, sure.
So it was spelled B-O-C-H-E-N-E-K. Means a little loaf of bread. A small loaf of bread.
Okay. That's interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, my first wedding was a Polish wedding. I grew up with all the customs and the culture and the food. And actually, my sister-in-law makes, and they're not really Polish. They are Hungarian. They're called krzyżyki, and they're that sweet dough that you twist and you fry it, and then you put powdered sugar on it.
It's delicious.
It is. It takes a lot of work to do it, by the way. I mean, seriously. And she's got the patience to do it, but it's a lot of work. And so is the Polish Easter bread that my grandmother used to make. And I really want to conquer it this year for the cooking show. So, because it was, my grandmother did it in such a way that it was so delicious. It was a yellow bread with currants. Do you remember this? And she used to keep it in the safe, Dawn. My grandfather was a jeweler, so it was a cool, dry place to keep this precious gift. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, what was your favorite food growing up?
A favorite food?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was ravioli. My grandmother used to make homemade ravioli, right? You know, right at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we always had our own pasta sauce that she made.
Mm-hmm.
And the ravioli, they wouldn't make all the time. We'd always have homemade spaghetti and linguine and things like that. But the ravioli takes more work. And they would have it like for Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all the big holidays. Ravioli was usually the pasta part, the pasta portion of that meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. They were just wonderful.
Did you remember them calling the sauce gravy?
No. Nobody in Youngstown ever called it gravy. Gravy for us was it was brown that you put on turkey and things like that.
But New Yorkers and New Jersey people call it gravy. They don't call it sauce.
Yeah, I know. My son lives over there in that area. And his family, you know, when he went there, his in-laws asked him about gravy. And he didn't know anything about it. He said, I don't know how to make gravy. He said, well, yeah, you grew up in an Italian house. He said, oh, you mean sauce. So, you know, it's funny that they both do that, you know, both Italian, same Italian culture, but they use different words.
Do you know what I'd really like to do, Don? I'd love to have you on my cooking show. with some of your recipes, because to be honest about it, we're doing a lot of international cooking today, and I do everything from vegan to raw to international, and people love these old time recipes, right?
Oh yeah.
And I've decided in my new book to have a couple recipes in it, because she's a chef in the next book, and you know, she continues her radio career, but you know, that would be kind of cool I don't know about the 1640s, if you ever researched anything from that time period. You know, you could have dried salt meat.
Yes.
That would be kind of cool.
They called it pemmican, I think.
Right?
That was the word that they often use for.
Wow. That would be kind of cool. Actually, I just did the Sweets and Snack Show, and so, of course, everybody loves what? And that is dried beef, or what do we call it? You can't remember?
Jerky.
Jerky. Beef jerky, they have turkey jerky. They have everything. I had every kind of jerky you could ever have. And actually, I have a dehydrator, or you can do it in your oven, or you can even do it outside. And that would be kind of cool to do for one of the shows.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So anyhow, but, you know, I've never made ravioli. Never. And I think my husband loves ravioli.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Loves it. Loves it. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say the homemade ravioli tastes very much better than store-bought ones.
Right. You know, I remember as a kid, my mom teaching me how to make pasta, you know, homemade pasta, and they used to hang it. Do you remember the old-time wooden hangers that they used to, or not hangers, but they were like clothes, they weren't clotheslines, but they were clothes posts like that you would hang clothes on.
I know exactly what you're talking about,
We would make spaghetti, or we would make pasta, noodles or whatever, and then hang them on those.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as a kid, I remember that. So that was kind of exciting. And, I mean, you know, kids today want to learn, actually, the history of a lot of things. And I think, you know, the new cooking shows and everything else show a lot of that stuff, you know, but they're using machines to do it, or they're using the pasta things to make it. But I would love to try to do a show like that, because I think it would be so much fun to do it. Because it's almost teaching people how to do it. And that's what I like about our show, that it is healthy and we're using materials that are organic, or what we used to call, we never knew what organic meant, because we didn't have pesticides when we were growing up. They were organic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would be kind of cool for the new book to have a recipe from that time period. It could be salt meat or whatever, you know, so to give people an idea of what they ate at that particular time in that century. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just a thought for your new book, just an idea.
Okay.
So anyhow, so you figure that you're going to have the new book out by 2020, maybe spring?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
Right. It takes a lot more work than people think it does, doesn't it?
Sure. And
go ahead.
Even after you finish the novel, then it has to go through editing and all kinds of other stuff.
Right.
It usually takes several months.
Right. It does. Know? Well, you know, I think we've come to the end of our show today, and I want to thank you for joining me, and please come back this month again. We love having you on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk. Don't forget to go to dongreconovels.com, and also you can buy his books up on Amazon, and that is the Youngstown Quintet, correct?
Yes.
And thank you so much, and have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful day. And we'll see you next time on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk. Don't forget to go to our website at letsjusttalkradio.com. See you soon.
You've been listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Ranker, sponsored by A Private Place, Bagwell, Dan Perkins Author, Don Greco Novels, IDI Dentistry, Dr. James Butler, iMarketing, Web Design and Web Hosting, Integrated Healthcare Solutions, Pucker Urban Farms, Plots Honey Nutters, Next Stage, Skip Kenny Barbecue, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Ultimate Air Shuttle, and Veterans in Defense of Liberty. You're listening to W4CY.